threat of a government shutdown looms. But while it's no surprise Democrats are struggling to negotiate with Republicans, they're also struggling to negotiate with other Democrats. Ed Blakely is a former Washington insider now living in Sydney, Australia. My name is Sean Britton from the radio station 2SER. Find us each and every week wherever you find good podcasts at US of Ed, as well as on Facebook and Twitter. Last week we talked about AUKUS, the Australia, UK and USA military pact. This week the conversation has been all about the Quad, this one again between Australia and the US, as well as India and Japan, again aiming at shoring up the Indo-Pacific region. What's this all about, Ed?
This is old news, man. This is stuff we were doing back in Obama's day and should have been done before Obama left, but Obama controlled very little and could get very little done toward the end. And now Joe hasn't had a new idea yet. All of the stuff was stuff he's trying to do when he was last in the White House, and one would have thought the president was then over 4 years would have done some of it instead of chasing, doing witch hunts. And the most recent ones for more votes, but that seemed to have turned into more votes for the other candidate. So in a sense, this should give us some reason to be calm, because the allies are being stitched back together on the Atlantic and Pacific side. The French are going to pitch a bitch, but they always do. So we're not going forward, but we're not going backward anymore. I'd say that's where we are with this. This is an alliance that was already there, and we just had to put it on paper.
Just before we move off this one, in terms of backing India, we're talking about the most populous democracy in the world. And while it's a developing nation, it is developing rapidly. I mean, I think we take for granted just how fast China was able to develop itself a place on the world stage. India still trying to catch up on that, obviously. But what do you think the world... the future holds in terms of the economic fronts we're going to be facing in the near future?
Well, I think India has to go back a step or two in order to get itself together so it can join this pact. But it is one of the fastest growing economies in the world. Malaysia is a fast growing economy. Singapore is a fast growing economy. So if we can get all that together, we will have something much better than we had in the recent past. So I see, again, this is not new news. This is just repairing what was supposed to be there. The pandemic has jumbled it up a little bit, and we can reposition, but we won't change directions here. And I think the public understands that, and they're comforted by it. The machinations with the Democratic Party are a bit strange, but I think the outcome of this will be good. Biden, I think, did a good strategic withdrawal that was poorly executed, and he's paying for that in the polls. But by and large, the American people are, you know, doing that hand dust saying, ooh, glad this one's over.
On the possibility of a shutdown, Republicans, surprise, surprise, aren't coming to the table to try and avoid the US government and economy coming to a screeching halt. Happy to leave Joe Biden holding the bag on this one if things do go wrong. Ed, have we got any more developments this week?
No, I think we should tune in to our... radios and televisions. Tomorrow is the day that this has to be cleared up. Now, what the Democrats can do is put the reopening of the government in the reconciliation bill. And that's what the Republicans are hoping they'll do. Now, this just puts more weight on the back of a very skinny elephant. That has to dance across a tightrope to get from the House of Representatives to the Senate and then slide down the rope into Joe's office. So this is a dainty elephant indeed. And whether this elephant can make it or not is in the hands of the gods. I have no insight here. No one I know does. I don't think anyone in the White House does. What Manchin really wants, do you know?
Looking into that mind, it seems like a very twisty place.
Well, he seems to want to position himself as a centrist, but he's losing ground in the center. His own state's not supporting him anymore. The Republicans think he's shifty now rather than crafty and smart. So, and he's got a lot of dirt on his hands, particularly with the pharmaceutical industry and the coal industries. So this one is hard for me to figure out.
Well, look, as you've touched on a couple of times there, Ed, the Democrats are still divided on the Biden agenda's main item, his infrastructure spending bill. A vote for $1 trillion to be allocated delayed with disagreements over the total bill. Moderates want the $3.5, $4 trillion plan scaled back. Progressives are now saying the moderates have been catered towards too long, and some saying they refuse to vote on a scaled back bill. Look, Biden has been elbows deep in the negotiations on this one, but the divisions seem to be getting worse and worse.
Yeah. For the very first time in my memory, the so-called progressives have the upper hand. The Democratic Party have been run by the moderates in my lifetime. And progressives have been a fringe, but they're no longer a fringe because their majority is so slim. So 12 or 14 of those makes a huge difference. And it didn't before. There weren't many AOCs in the previous Congresses. There's one or two of them, and everybody can name them. Pelosi was in those ranks 30 years ago, but she's since grown up. And Bernie was always an old radical. So what is called radical now, is pretty much in the center. Child care, home leave after birth of a child, guarantees with respect to child health and medical care, streamlining drug prices so they're not so outrageous. These are not wild ideas. 77% of Americans favor them. And they're supposed to be left-wing crazy ideas. I don't think so. They just need to get done.
Well, this is, Joe Biden himself, famously a moderate figure within the Democratic Party, and yet this is his bill, the name's on the bill, which is really following the progressive agenda. I guess the main issue I have with the moderates here in the Democratic Party is they're talking about scaling back the bill, but they don't seem to be offering any actual alternatives.
No, nor any actual different dollars. So back in the good old Trump days, you might figure out, now what's to his strategic personal advantage? And aha, we can nail that one down. But here, I don't know what's to anybody's advantage. The so-called moderate Democrats want the infrastructure bill with no frills. They want all the bridges and so forth. But when it comes to the child care bill and the rest that's being added on, they say, whoa. On the other hand, when you say, well, you want child care taken out, they say, oh, no. Well, what do you want? Mm. What this is all about is money. Everyone in both parties runs for office in New York and Los Angeles. The rest of the country be damned, because that's where the international headquarters are. So the pharmaceutical industry say, look what we've done for you. We've managed this pandemic, et cetera. Give us a break here. Don't lower our prices. The oil people say, hey, we're going to clean energy. Give us a little break here. And since the local Joes until recently weren't putting money in these guys' campaign, they don't know how to react now with this big blue fund. The blue fund is bigger than all the corporate money. And this is from people like you and me, $10 or $15. So the progressives have nothing to lose by going along with this agenda because they will be funded in their campaigns now. Beto O'Rourke started this and it continues. So we have this different kind of math than we had before. In the old days, you could say there's a corporate math over here. It will win some things. It doesn't want to win at all because it doesn't want the economy to collapse. Now we have on the left a math that's not tied to anybody and doesn't run any risk except total failure. Mm. So it could be lights out in Washington if we're not careful.
Vaccine deadlines. Wanted to touch on this with deadlines closing in on some folk to get their vaccination or face dismissal from their places of work. A hospital network in North Carolina has already fired 175 workers for failing to get vaccinated, albeit this is out of a network of over 35,000. New York looking at bringing in the National Guard to make up for possible shortfalls in their healthcare system, requiring all healthcare workers, public school employees, and those working in the court system to be vaccinated. Any thoughts, Ed?
Bravo. It's about time. And employers have every right to have conditions for their employees. You cannot work in any food processing operation without what is the shot that prevents you from spreading salmonella and all this kind of stuff. You cannot work at a swimming pool without having shots against chicken pox. You cannot go to a school without having a half dozen shots. So this is not a question of whether you want to or not. If you don't want to participate, you don't get the shot. If you do want to participate, you play ball because you're endangering the life of others. What I can't really figure out is why so many people are walking off the cliff like lemmings. I was talking to a guy from Texas that we will have on our show probably next week or the week after about the Texas problem. And he's an African-American. He said there's a number of African-Americans who are not getting the shot, who sound like just like the zealots that we've heard about on the side of the right, because the alternate media has gotten to them. And they are dying. And he says he knows 40 or so people who've walked down that trail and they're now dead, not admitting that they did the wrong thing. That's remarkable.
Yeah, I think there's a whole other episode in that if we want to get into the motivations there.
Yeah, well, you'll have to have somebody else on because I don't understand them.
Across the pond, and you might have seen massive lines and Mad Max-esque scenes as the United Kingdom goes through a self-inflicted fuel shortage. Brexit means that the UK is short on drivers to transport fuel tankers and other supplies, with particular concerns about supply lines come Christmas. But this probably wouldn't have been such a disaster, except, as we've seen previously, once people fear a scarcity, they all start hoarding and create a genuine scarcity. Ed, what's going on?
What is going on is no one has any confidence in Boris. Boris has made one little mess after another. If Boris were a sure-handed leader, none of this would be going on. Brexit is partly at fault, and the pandemic's partly at fault because we know the supply lines have been very badly damaged through all this. But this fuel shortage, as you point out, is pretty artificial. And there's always a bump up around Christmas time and the need for more fuel. There's still a lot of people in England who depend on oil to heat their homes and apartment buildings. So it's not expected to have some price rises, but the hoarding and the getting fuel to make sure bad won't happen to them is a direct result of having little confidence in the government.
Mm. And the Arizona recount, we didn't even bother talking about this last week.
Trump won, didn't he? No. He lost by 318 votes more. Oh, my goodness. This could only happen on 2SER.
Oh, it's an extraordinary result. It's very amusing. It's hellishly more amusing. There are a couple of things here I wanted to touch on. Firstly, I think we need to be careful discussing these results as if they're legitimate, because although they are very, very funny, this was still a complete disaster of a recount, and these results do not ensure there was legitimacy in the process or any future processes by these same people. And secondly, Donald Trump has been claiming, of course, that the complete opposite happened in Arizona. It proves he won bigly, and that those, you know...
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, he's still claiming he won bigly.
Bigly. That's a new word for me. but this clown show is all about raising money. You and I know that. It has nothing to do with elections. Exactly. And he has to keep his position because you raise money from it. And all these other clowns raise money from it. So I wonder whether we will ever really know what happened in Arizona, other than Biden won. And it's too bad. Now all the other states, including Texas, are running out to do these so-called audits. All of these are fig leaves for fundraising. They have nothing to do with audits. You get your name in the paper legitimately for running the audit. You hire some clowns and they all raise money, but the money goes into the coffers of those people who are running for office against things because they can't raise any money running for office for things.
Ed and I will be back next week to talk all the latest in US news and politics. Make sure to subscribe wherever you find the podcast. Drop us a review if you're feeling generous. And check us out on Facebook and Twitter at US of Ed. Also worth checking out is Ed and I's other podcast, Pacific Conversations, with long-form conversations with experts in various fields around Australian and US infrastructure and politics. The last few episodes have been regarding building more resilient cities for taking care of future disasters. Really fascinating stuff. Check it out, Pacific Conversations. The website is edtalks.com.au.